Welcome to the Consultants Council podcast, a place for consulting industry guidance and best practice advisory. Whether you're working to grow in your consulting career, you're managing and developing a consulting firm, you're working with consultants, or you're just interested in business and high performance advice, we've got recommendations and education for you. I'm Kelsey Krevling, founder and CEO of Kelsey Consulting, a firm focused on building high-performing organizations, teams, and individuals through a variety of ventures, including the Consultants Council. I've spent my career at the intersection of technology and management consulting, working with organizations across the country to help solve their toughest challenges, while also supporting the growth and development of multiple consulting firms, helping them improve their long-term performance trajectory. In addition, I'm an entrepreneur across a few different industries, and I serve as a startup investor and advisor, promoting the ideas of other entrepreneurs as they work to gain traction in their industries. With so many people gearing up to launch their own businesses and establish their own consulting practices, I want to make available the advice and lessons I've learned along the way. This podcast is made possible by Kelsey Consulting. For more information, check out our site at theconsultantscouncil.com and kelsey.consulting. That's KELSC.consulting. And now, stay tuned for this episode's counseling, because the consulting world is full of nuances. And the answer is always, it depends. What's possible? Do more. Hey, y'all. It's Kelsey Krevling with the Consultants Council, and I am so excited to talk with you all today about how do we navigate our way out of a lot of the hardships that as entrepreneurs and as humans, we oftentimes encounter. What do we do when we are out of power, when we're out of fuel? How do we keep going and how do we save ourselves? What do we do when we encounter a stall or even a downward spiraling spin? How do we encounter that when as entrepreneurs, there's no real playbook or plan in place because we're doing something that has never been done before. Yes, there are other entrepreneurs out there who have done different things that may be similar, but no one has specifically gone through the exact interactions, challenges, and creations that we're a part of. How do we navigate that? It's actually something that I recently talked about with CEO and founder of Uplift Aerospace, Josh Haynes, on a recent podcast, where it's really hard being an entrepreneur because you are encountering uncharted territory that no one's ever done before. And there's no one that can specifically tell you exactly what to do. So today, let's dig into some metaphors that hopefully will lend some support and some critical steps that you can take to alleviate some of those challenges and make things a little bit easier, and also restore some confidence in yourself in case you're losing it amidst being in a crisis. All right, so to help illustrate some ways that we can overcome certain scenarios that we encounter, I've got an interesting kind of set of metaphors for it. Something that people don't actually all know about me is that I'm a licensed pilot. So when I was 18, I pursued getting my single engine land private pilot's license. I am not current. I don't have an up-to-date medical, so I'm not actively flying. It's something where I've found that time and money at the same time don't often intersect, at least so far in my life. And it's kept me from being in the skies often, but it is certainly something that I love, the ability to have a very different viewpoint of life, and also just a really foundational skill that has served me very well throughout life. I remember getting my license and saying to my parents at the time that even if I never flew again, I was so grateful for the opportunity to learn because it rendered such immense baseline of confidence. The mindset of if I can fly a plane, I can do anything really translates across a lot of different crises and challenges that we encounter throughout life. And you know, it's interesting because the motivation for wanting to fly actually was originated from my grandfather. He was a fighter pilot, and I always really responded to the ability to operate an aircraft and the ability to use a different set of skills to get through the world. So anyways, it was just kind of something that I really enjoyed. I actually graduated high school a little bit early in order to pursue it between high school and college. So it was kind of a really neat primer for the rest of my life to date, and the ability to encounter a lot of challenges along the way and to have a really level head when we're going through them. So one of the things that's really drilled into you when you're in flight school, when you are pursuing a license to fly, is how to handle critical scenarios and situations, because the ability to remain calm amidst such potential chaos is the difference between staying alive and not. And as a result, you will encounter a lot of drills for different scenarios, many of those scenarios involving stalls, spins, and engine loss. And so recently, when encountering some challenges, I really kept thinking, gosh, like, is something spinning? How do you stop it? At which point it really kind of came to the surface for me, skill sets that I haven't really had to utilize all that much, was, well, when you're in a spin in a plane, at least in a single engine land plane, the first thing you do is pull the power. You say, okay, we cannot keep going and putting power and energy behind this spin, because if we do, we're just going to make it worse. And when I realized that, it really put things into perspective. You know, where in our life are we maybe encountering things where things feel like they have gotten out of control, where something is beyond our ability to remedy it? Things feel like they are spinning further and further away from the axis of balance. Well, are we continuing to add fuel to that spin? Or are we pulling the power? The next thing you do when you're in a spin is neutralize your wings, your ailerons. Okay, that means kind of start to find your equilibrium. That means, okay, I'm going and spinning. I've pulled the power. I'm no longer putting energy towards my spin, but I now need to neutralize. What actions can I take that allow me to find neutral footing? What are the things that I know that help me be balanced? Gosh, like, you know, have I done the things necessary that help my mental health be well? Have I gotten exercise and eaten good food and gotten enough sleep and spent time with people that I love? Have I spent time in nature? You know, it depends for each person what's going to help you find your equilibrium, but taking account of that when you feel like things are out of control and recognizing really quickly if that's something that you have the ability to remedy. The next thing is your rudder. Taking a look at completely shifting opposite force from the spin. So if you, for example, are down in a downward spiral to the right, well, you're going to need to apply full pressure to your left rudder in order to try to break that spin. Well, how in life can that be utilized? How can you say, you know what, I've pulled power to the things that were dragging me down. I'm now neutralizing myself and making sure I'm at least doing the things that keep me neutral and well, and then I'm going to completely maybe shift gears. I'm going to totally maybe go in an opposite direction because the way I've been going isn't working for me. I need to change. Okay, all right. That can look like a lot of different things. It can look like changing gears in business. It can look like changing gears in life. It can be a pretty significant adjustment or modification, but the full purpose, at least when you are in a single engine aircraft, is full rudder to the opposite side of your spin. because now you're no longer powering your spin, you're resetting your equilibrium, and you're adjusting the direction with which you are applying pressure. At that point, it's now time to pull back on your elevator, be able to re-pull yourself back up out of what's been occurring. And how can we do that? What's the best way to now bring our nose back up to be able to focus on what's next? That can look like a lot of different things for different people, but the ability to really take a look at that and say, okay, I've pulled the power from what was taking me down. I've reset my equilibrium. I've pushed hard in an opposite direction. And now I'm ready to say, okay, what's next? What are we gonna look at? Those are the critical steps when you're flying a single engine aircraft in order to get out of a spin. And those same steps apply in life when we are facing situations that feel like they are spinning out of control and that we've got to reset. So I would encourage you, the next time that you feel like things are starting to spiral, first of all, don't let them get that bad. But second of all, pull the power. Pull the power from everything that is rendering fuel to what is not for you, that is pushing you further and faster into the spiral that is not in your best interest. Reset your equilibrium. Shift hard into an opposite direction. And then bring your nose up and start to look around and say, okay, can we regain our composure? Can we regain our clarity? And are we now ready to start to navigate towards where it is that we really are ready to go? Because we've restored ourselves out of that spin. All right, so spins are really dangerous, but how do we get into them? We've talked about how to get out of it, but how do you actually get into it so that you don't have to encounter it in the first place? Well, typically in a plane, they can happen when you stall, when the plane loses its lift, and as a result, it no longer is able to stay upright in the sky and it's going to tip. Well, what angle of attitude is the plane flying in order to lose lift? It's pitched up too high. Now you can do power on or power off stalls. We see that even in our lives. We can push so much power into something and be climbing at such a high degree of effort that we completely lose our lift. We're not able to continue because we don't have enough thrust. We don't have rocket boosters necessarily, especially if we're flying single engine. We as a sole entrepreneur trying to make things happen, pushing so hard, we lose our lift and we can stall. We also can have stalls when we don't have any power and when we're trying to move forward, but we don't have any lift. And as a result, that stalled state, when we're no longer climbing, we start to slip, and then the weight of our nose, the engine, pulls us right back down, and that's how we enter that spin. So how do we really avoid those stall states? Now, in flight training, they make you go into stalls. You have to learn how to go into a stall. You have to learn how to do it power on, power off, and you have to learn how to remedy it. You also have to learn how to pull out from a spin, though they don't oftentimes have you actually go into a spin because they are so dangerous to get out of, but you're drilled on it really critically and again and again and again. But the stalled state is one that oftentimes entrepreneurs can find themselves in, and it's not for lack of effort. I don't know many entrepreneurs who get into that realm who aren't driven, because it's a challenging space to inhabit. The drive necessary to go out and create change in the world is a unique one, and it's not an easy path. And as a result, oftentimes driven individuals find themselves pushing and going and charging and climbing at such degrees of attitude that they are not sustainable, and stalls can be encountered. And so how can we avoid those? And what do we do to get out of them? Now, I'm using the words degrees of attitude because that's what it's called when you are flying. The attitude indicator is your kind of artificial horizon. Kind of look at the horizon behind me. And the degrees to which you are climbing up, your nose up, is your degree of attitude. Now, I am not quite sure the background on our, you know, the mindset of our attitude affects our altitude. That is certainly flight terminology because the degree to which we are choosing to be positive and climb is going to affect how high we're able to climb our altitude. So definitely some crossover there, but it is really interesting that if we are climbing at such a degree of attitude where we could argue that it is toxically positive, because it is, it's such a degree of positivity that we are creating a toxic environment for ourselves and certainly for our aircraft. And what happens then is that stalled event where we are no longer seeing the growth that we were seeking. We're not getting the outcomes that we were optimistic we were going to be having, or things maybe are not coming our way the way that we thought they would. And so how can we really get out of a stall? So first up, you know, if you're in a power on stall and the plane's just kind of like, it's losing power, it's not climbing, is to start to put your nose down, right? So to reduce your degree of attitude, to take a look at saying, you know what, maybe I need to reduce that in order to be able to see around me. If all I can see is sky, if that's all that's in my windshield and that is all that I am able to picture, I maybe don't have enough realistic vantage and viewpoint to continue to ascend. And so being able to put our nose a little bit down in the aircraft and in our own life from the high focused vantage and viewpoint to the more realistic or what's right in front of us can really affect that stall. In addition, there's also the need to kind of reset that equilibrium. It's taking a look at how are our ailerons or our wings kind of leveled out? How is our elevator in the back pitched? How are we able to kind of bring ourselves back into formation? Sometimes it means needing to add a little bit more power, a little bit more fuel to our engine to keep us going, right? And sometimes it means needing to back off, because if we've kind of been in a power on stall and we have power, well, adding more power is just going to rapidly increase the rate at which we're going to stall, because there's also something called a stall speed that can affect how quickly you're hitting that stall as well. So there's a lot there. I won't go into a formal flight lesson right now, but I do think that there's a tremendous amount that we can learn from the standpoint of if we feel like we are stalling, take a look around and say, is it because I am trying to climb at an unsustainable attitude and at an unsustainable speed? When those two things converge, we stall, plain and simple. And we don't just stall in planes, we stall in life. So it truly is a reminder to kind of pause, to breathe, to take a look at, are we fueling the right things and with the right amount of fuel? Or are we pushing too hard, too fast, at too great of an incline that is unsustainable? Try that out and see if it helps you get out of a stall so that you don't have to get out of a spin. Ooh, there's a helicopter behind me. Those terrify me. You know why? Because they don't have natural lift. Airplanes actually can fly on their own, and it's really fascinating because people worry, oh my gosh, what if we lose an engine? Well, if you lose an engine in a helicopter, you're going to have a very different outcome, because the engine, the rotor, is what creates your lift, and that's really difficult to replicate. But in an aircraft, what happens when you lose an engine is that the plane actually can fly for quite a while if it's at its glide speed and glide attitude. And so in life, if we are feeling like we are running out of energy, when we're running out of power, when we don't have any more to give, how can we make sure that we preserve ourselves and are able to get to a safe landing? When you're flying, the first thing to do when you lose an engine is to pitch up to your glide speed. So if you're just kind of cruising along at a regular degree of flight, you are using your power in order to keep you moving forward. But when you pitch up to your glide speed, the plane's able to enter a gliding phase where the plane's able to continue to fly and glide. Now, at that point, you are able to message radio in for notifications that you have lost an engine and you're going to be making an emergency landing. And then you're also going to be starting to make a quick look at the ground and taking into account of where is it safe for you to find a place to land. Now, depending upon your altitude and how high you are at the time, that's going to determine how quickly you need to find somewhere to land. If you're out in the rural countryside, you know, there's likelihood of being able to find farmland that is safe to land in. But if you're, you know, within ability to get to an airport, that's even better because you can be talking with the comms and with the flight tower about being able to come in for land and they can clear you for that. So it really depends on where you are, but that lesson of pitch up to your glide speed so that you're able to continue to preserve yourself for so much longer than you would be if you kept cruising along at the current steady state. Because at that current steady state, then the plane's going to start to stall. It's not gonna be able to glide. And also to start to look for a safe landing place. Okay, if you in life are at a point where you're burnt out, you've lost an engine, it's just you. You don't have a backup engine. You're on your own as an entrepreneur. What can you do to take a look at how you can keep gliding? What things can you pull power on, have no power on, in order to preserve and to make things go for longer? Are there subscriptions you can cancel? Are there things that you can say no to? Take an account of what's draining your energy and keeping you from being able to glide seamlessly and effortlessly through the air. And then, where is safe for you to land? Where is it in your life that you can take a pause, that you can take a break, that you can come in for kind of some safe harbor? I'm really mixing metaphors today. But being ready to go for these scenarios, knowing how you're going to handle them, really makes a huge difference when you're faced with different emergency scenarios and situations that feel quite critical in your life. Fortunately, few of us will actually have to encounter those type of crises in the air. And there's other protocols for how to handle these type of things in multi-engines and jets and things like that, right? We're talking single engine land, but planes, but single propeller planes. But in life, I know very few people who haven't experienced tremendous hardship, whether they're an entrepreneur or not. And as a result, knowing how we would handle different occurrences prior to them occurring makes us so much more prepared when they do happen. Knowing how you would navigate emergency scenarios is what makes you a better prepared person. If you've done any type of preparation training or you worked with anyone in the military, they are constantly running scenarios, what if situations. And it's something that I do quite a lot of. Anytime I walk into a restaurant, a new space, I'm always looking for the exits. And in my head, I'm always thinking of, okay, what happens if an active shooter comes in? Where am I going? And how am I getting out of here? What happens if someone has a heart attack? How am I dealing with it? What happens if there is an earthquake or a tornado or a hurricane or a flood? What would I do in these different scenarios? And a lot of that's probably because of trauma I've experienced in my own life with having to evacuate due to hurricanes and having flooding events and having wildfire events and having to pack up my whole home under duress, things like that. But all of those scenarios also, I've been able to render myself well through them because of that preparedness. Because in my mind, I'm kind of always just running through, okay, what do I have with me? How am I going to navigate this? How am I going to get myself through this? And ultimately, those things oftentimes don't come to pass, right? And so if right now, when you're not in a state of emergency, when you're not in a state of crises, if you have the opportunity to think through different what ifs, what's the worst that could happen? How would I handle it? How would I handle a cyber attack on my business? How would I handle a bankruptcy or a potential major payment challenge? How would I handle it if vendors are not paying me? How would I handle it if clients aren't coming in? How would I handle it if, you know, you have a major HR challenge or you have a scenario with, you know, geopolitical events or challenges, right? Like the scenarios and things that can come up in the face of work. Oh my gosh, I can go on and on and on. This actually ties in quite a lot to a podcast we did called Pleasantly Uneventful for Traveling with Ease, because traveling introduces quite a lot of challenges as well. So as a result though, the big message here is be prepared. Know that while you may not have navigated specific events or emergencies before, that doesn't mean that you are not equipped to handle them, especially if you're spending time right now putting together your mental checklist of, okay, if this happens, I'll do this. If that happens, I will do that. Knowing how you'll get yourself out of these different events, whether they be spins, stalls, or total power failure, makes a huge difference in both your confidence level going into different situations and in your ability to know that you can navigate and handle them effectively, but also just in how you feel showing up each day, because you have that confidence and because you have that capability that you have taken the time to address. Also, much like when you're flying and you've got your emergency frequencies that you're able to tune into in order to call for Mayday type help, who is on your emergency contact list? Who are you reaching out to in the event of crises? Who's helping you navigate a safe landing place? Have you thought through that? Are they people that you know you can always count on in the event of an emergency? Spend some time on that too. So, with that, hopefully this pseudo flight lesson metaphor has been helpful for you as you encounter some of the different things that can arise in business, in an entrepreneurship, and in life. I know it's certainly been helpful for me and served me well through the years, and even, you know, just recently while going through lots of different things. So cheers and have a great day. And hopefully you also got to see some planes flying in my background today.
And that's a wrap on this episode of the Consultants Council. Thank you so much for your interest and engagement. Let us know what you'd like to learn more about by writing into info@theconsultantscouncil.com. Thanks to Kelsey Consulting for sponsoring this podcast. And with that, cheers and all my best. Have a great week. And remember, what's possible? Do more.